O Lord, uphold me, that I may uplift thee. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The message in the reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke is as old as the prophets and is astonishingly simple. The delight in studying Jesus' parables is their ability to communicate on multiple levels at the same time. At first, the reader may assume that in the parable of the rich fool, as it is usually called, Jesus is clearly condemning material wealth. Many commentators on the passage from Luke concentrate on the foolish farmer's cry to himself. His soliloquy, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." However, on a deeper level, the parable speaks about the sin of idolatry even more than it speaks about greed and avarice. We must understand idolatry to mean the hanging on to or attributing to our personal security on some common letter, G-O-D, God, who cannot guarantee us anything which would outlast the immediate material delights of the present moment. The equation of material greed with idolatry is made explicit by Paul in his letter to the Colossians, in verse 5. Which was read earlier as the epistle, and which is in all our services. "Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry." My friends, we certainly do not feel like idolaters. Certainly, we are not aware of worshiping at other altars. Yet, how often and throughout Holy Scripture we read of persons who struggle not only with the choice between capital G-O-D, God's values, and human values, but between common letter G-O-D-S, gods. There are those persons who choose today's gods: the god of appetite, the god of whim, the god of immediacy, the god of money. They choose today's gods: the god of appetite, of whim. They find the pleasure of satisfying these appetites very thrillingly. For a moment, at least, they are sure that they have all that they will ever need. And so they are fully satisfied. Alongside this group, there are those persons who choose the god of tomorrow, capital G this time, the God whose name in Hebrew is Yahweh, the God who is oriented to the future. The rich man about whom we read in today's gospel was one of those whose lifelong dream to be wealthy and important comes true. It should be noted that the story of the rich fool does not imply that the man's gain is in any way dishonest. The man's fields simply produce a bumper crop. He is not said to be depriving anyone. He simply wants rest from his labors, usually considered a good thing. The issue in the story is not so much that the man is wealthy, but that he is a fool. Now, note the word fool. The word fool alludes to Psalm 40, number 1, which reads as one follows. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He has not taken God into account at all in his plan for the storage and disposition of his grain and his goods. If the rich man could take an X-ray of the supports which undergird his accomplishments, what would he find? Let me repeat that. If the rich man could take an X-ray of the supports which undergird his accomplishments, what would he find? He would discover that he was dependent upon his relationship with neighbors with whom he traded, his farm produce, his staff who labored in the fields and barns at menial tasks, thereby freeing him to administer his farm, his domestic staff who provided his food, and so on and so on. In turn, all of these were dependent on the natural world, the fresh air, the rich soil, the animals, the streams. But Jesus claimed that despite his goodness, his industry, and his success, his laudable self-sufficiency, the rich man had missed the point. He had missed the point. He had forgotten his Alpha and Omega, his fundamental dependency upon capital G-O-D. If he had found God and his neighbors, his staff, his family, the natural world, then he would not be called a fool. Even if he continued to justify his ownership of his own possessions, because neighbors, staff, and family were rewarded fairly. Sorry, my friend. He surely would have found that the natural world gave him God's abundance in terms of which he could never repay. During this time of the year, summer, individuals and families are engaged in outdoor activities of some form or another. If adults camp, they usually require on the campgrounds some of the comforts used at home. These outdoor experiences are not extras. However, for children or adults, at the core of these experiences are several messages about our fundamental dependence on God's gifts. Now, having come to the realization that our dependence is on God, and as a consequence, all that we have and will have is provided by God, and as we conduct our lives and become immersed in daily activities, we must avoid the slippery slope of hanging on to our personal security on someone. Each of us knows the temptation without having to search ourselves at all. We experience troubling anxiety when we hear that the country economic system may decline, and that leads us to question ourselves. Will we have enough to pay the bills? Will we have anything at all to retire on? Will our retirement check up or far enough. Or perhaps we may likely be less affected by the possible recession and are smiling smugly about it. How smart we were to plan for financial security, even in hard times. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the struggle is so typical of the human condition. The gospel presents a different lesson, and one which is easily misunderstood. Taken at face value, it might suggest that Jesus could not care less about what happens in the realm of economics. The story sounds even harsher when it's cast against a background of people out of work, people who are facing layoffs, people worrying about their jobs, people not knowing what the future may hold for themselves, their families, their companies, their entire industry. But yes, God cares, and he cares deeply, for we are men and women made in the image of God. However, we live within an economic system that smiles on growth and frowns at the word recession, especially when television images and newspaper ads dangle incentives before us. The passage from Luke says something different and portrays a man who is called a fool, one who lacks faith in God. Let me say here, possessions have the potential to manifest the will of God. God provides the good things of creation for our use and provides for us resources which we are to use economically. We can use them according to God's purpose or not. If we do, material things become channels of God's grace. If we do not, they become destructive, demonic. Thus, in the Eucharist, if we share the bread and wine in the context of recalling God's history with us and his promises to us, we inspire redemptive community. If we do not share and if we do not remember, we lose ourselves. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in conclusion, I say, the point of the parable of the rich fool is made easy for one's understanding by the combination of two familiar scriptural aphorisms. Luke chapter 16, verse 13 says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." The eighth verse of chapter 55 of Isaiah says, "Your ways are not my ways, says the Lord." The theme of choice between God's generous relational values and our self-serving values is so pervasive in Scripture that one could list passages after passages, all as familiar as the two I have just given. The reading from the epistle Paul said to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, presents in adversary form the message of the parable. "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Verse 2. The man in the story is called a fool, one who lacks faith in God. So as you and I are caught up in the business of our daily ongoing lives, Jesus' story challenges us to enter into a deeper faith in the Creator, abandoning claims of ownership to the products of our labors, since we are invariably tempted to the denial of our dependency, we can rest, not in the luxury of having saved up plenty for the future, in knowing that we belong to God, from whom all blessings flow. The messages all around us fail to take the x-rays which show that any so-called self-sufficiency is dependent upon the support of others and ultimately upon God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. The messages all around us fail to take the x-rays which show that any so-called self-sufficiency is dependent upon the support of others and ultimately upon God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose loving hand has given us all that we possess, grant us grace to use wisely and faithfully all such possessions, always remembering we cannot serve you, God, and mammon. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord.